Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. In the small catechism, the fourth chief part on baptism, the fourth question is asked, what does such baptizing with water indicate? And the answer, you might remember these words yourselves, the answer is, it indicates that the old Adam in us should by daily contrition and repentance be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires, and that a new man should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. These words come from the Catechism, but they are founded on Holy Scripture, founded on the words that we heard in our epistle lesson today. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. From these words of Holy Scripture, as they are explained to us in the small catechism, we are reminded that baptism has daily significance for our lives. Though baptism is but once in our life, we are truly baptized only once. Those that think that one needs to be rebaptized or baptized again in the Spirit in adulthood when one can make a decision to be baptized, that's false, that's wrong. No, whether as an infant or adult, when you're baptized once, that is baptism. But it doesn't remain in the past. It's not a one-time event that is locked away in a cupboard. Rather, it has significance for every day, every moment of our lives. It gives us our shape, our identity. Baptism tells us who we are and whose we are, children of God, heirs of the kingdom of heaven. Much like marriage in this regard, though you are married but once, nevertheless, your marriage, whatever date that marriage took place, shapes and colors who you are your whole life long. At least that's the way God intends it. So also baptism then shapes who you are for your whole life and even unto eternity, which is why it's proper to say, I am baptized, not I was baptized. What is the significance of baptism for our daily lives? What does it have to do with us as Christians, as people of God, day in and day out as we live our lives in this world? Again, it tells us, or it indicates, that we should, by daily contrition and repentance, drown that old Adam. We should daily acknowledge our sins. We should daily hear the law of God, those commandments which we heard in our first lesson, the Old Testament lesson today, which show us our sin, which reveal to us the depth of our corruption. Because of that, we ought to repent, but to have true contrition, that is sorrow for sin. We ought to turn from these sins. But there's more than that, of course. Baptism isn't just daily drowning the old Adam, daily feeling sorry for your sins, daily hearing the rebuke of the law. It's also daily emerging and arising as a new man, daily walking before God in righteousness and purity. The baptismal life is a life of faith and good works. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. The direction of that new life is laid out for us in those commandments, which serve not only to curb sin and sinful desires, and serve not only to reveal the depth of sin within us as a mirror, but also to guide us, to teach us, to instruct us in those works that are truly pleasing to God our Father in heaven. So again, baptism daily signifies that we should drown the old Adam and daily emerge and arise to walk in new life. And I think this is why then our epistle lesson from Romans chapter 6, that familiar passage on baptism, is linked together with our gospel lesson today, that passage from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, in which Jesus preaches on the law of God. specifically, at least in our lesson, on the fifth commandment, murder. For baptism means new life. The rejection of baptism means death, to remain in death. It means to remain under the power of the devil of whom Jesus says he was a murderer from the beginning. And this becomes all the clearer as we hear Jesus unpack what the fifth commandment means. The new life of baptism means that we love our neighbor as ourselves. But to reject baptism and to remain in death means to be angry with your brother. The new life of baptism means that we encourage one another and build one another up. To reject baptism and to remain in death means to insult your neighbor, your brother. The new life of baptism means that we defend our neighbor, speak well of him, and explain everything in the kindest way. To reject baptism and to remain in death means that we call the brother a fool. You see, baptism, again, unites the Christian with Christ. And Christ came into the world not to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is a theme we've heard over the last several weeks of this early part of the Trinity season, the time of the church. How Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. How Jesus, the Son of Man, came to receive sinners and eat with them. How he came to seek and to save the lost. How there is joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. Christ Jesus came not with anger nor insults for foolish sinners, but rather with mercy, with compassion, with forgiveness for sinners. Which means that if you are unmerciful, if you lack compassion, if you refuse to forgive those who trespass against you, you are living unlike Jesus. Therefore, living outside of your baptism. You are baptized. If you are a child of God, if you are a Christian, you simply cannot live like that. You can't harbor anger or bitterness against your brother for slights, real or imagined, great or small. You can't insult your brother, whether behind his back or to his face. You can't call your brother a fool. Remember what it means to call someone a fool from our study of Proverbs earlier this year. That is to call him an unbeliever, to call him deserving of hell. That is to make yourself, not God, yourself, the judge of both the living and the dead. And you cannot, as Jesus continues in our gospel lesson today, you cannot live in unresolved conflict with your brother, unwilling to confess your sins to one another, whether because of pride or apathy. The law of God does serve as a mirror. The law of God shows us our sin. And therefore, with the law of God before us today in our scripture lessons, we ought to examine ourselves. Examine yourself today. There's someone, whether in your home, workplace, neighborhood, this congregation even, whom you are unwilling to forgive. Is there someone that you look down on? You despise, you reject? Is there someone that you have hurt by your words of gossip, slander, of insult? Is there someone whom you have wronged and you refuse to amend that relationship by admitting your guilt and asking for forgiveness? Repent, for we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Our sins are just as damning as those who have sinned against us. We all confess ourselves to be poor, miserable sinners, and you're just as poor and miserable as the next one. Your secret sins are just as appalling as the ones that you know about your neighbor. You are no more righteous in yourself than anyone else. Your anger, your hurtful words, your unwillingness to forgive or ask for forgiveness, not the fruit of new life in baptism, but the actions of one who would remain in death, that is, in unbelief. That ends with judgment, with eternal death, and the hell of fire, as Jesus warns today. This is no joke. This is a very serious matter. We all can probably think of those we have known in this congregation or in our families or elsewhere who were baptized, who then fell away from their baptismal grace. Repent. Which is, again, what such baptizing with water indicates. That we should drown that old Adam with contrition and repentance. Drown his unwillingness to forgive. Drown his pride. Drown his arrogance. Drown his apathy. And that new man should emerge and arise. The new man who looks to Jesus Christ alone, who did for all the world atone. The new man who trusts that Jesus Christ truly suffered and died to take away from you the penalty for your sins. The new man who knows by faith that Jesus was liable to judgment, though he never sinned, and was found to be guilty, though he was truly spotless and innocent. That he was liable to the council, the Sanhedrin, who shouted out, "Crucify him!" That he bore the fiery wrath of the Father against your sin and the sin of the whole world. As all that you deserved because of your trespasses, Jesus bore for you on the cross. He was falsely accused. He was handed over to the judge to the guards to the soldiers, and he was put to death on the cross. Thereby he paid to the last penny the price of death and hell that you earned because of your sins. Not with gold or silver, of course, but with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death, that you might be free, innocent, and blameless before God, now and eternally. Through holy baptism, you have been united with Jesus Christ in this death. And therefore, you shall certainly be united with him in his resurrection. Baptism works for you the forgiveness of sins. It rescues you from death and the devil. It gives eternal salvation to you who believe this, as the words and promises of God declare. Baptism is a life-giving water for you, rich in grace, a washing of the new birth in the Holy Spirit. In short, as St. Peter writes, baptism now saves you. Through baptism, God gives you his Holy Spirit, who creates and strengthens faith in your hearts. And he does this daily and richly. Jesus says, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of God. There is no earthly righteousness that can do this. But through baptism, you have received the only righteousness that avails before God, the only righteousness that exceeds even that of the scribes and Pharisees. It is Christ's own righteousness, which he gives to you freely, unearned, by grace and grace alone. He gives it to you through his word. What he says is true. And so when he says of you, "You are righteous in my sight," for Jesus' sake, you are. This is what we call justification. That you are counted as righteous in the eyes of God, not by works, but by grace alone. This is the new life you have, a new life in which you are justified by grace alone, but not just justified, also sanctified. That is, to live a new life of good works, pleasing to your heavenly Father. The body of sin having been brought to nothing, you are no longer enslaved to sin. Which means that not only can hell no longer claim you because of your sin, but it also means that you have been set free to flee from sin and set free to do what is good, what is pleasing in the eyes of God. For the Holy Spirit has been given to you. He dwells in you, that you might love your neighbor as you have been first loved by God. As I said before, the law of God, which we've heard this morning, yes, it accuses, but it doesn't only accuse. It also instructs the new man, the one who is created in Christ Jesus. And so what the words we've heard this morning from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, along with those commandments we heard from Exodus chapter 20, don't only serve to show you your sin. They don't only serve that role of a mirror. They also instruct you, they guide you in what your Christian life should look like as you live in the waters of your baptism daily and richly. It shows you that it is pleasing to God when you forgive your neighbor, those who trespass against you. It's pleasing to God when you speak words to your neighbor that build him up. Yes, even when you have to speak words of correction and rebuke. It's pleasing when you love your brother for whom Christ died and whom Christ has washed in holy baptism just as he has you. It's pleasing to God when you are reconciled to your brother and then come together as Christians, as saints, as fellow heirs of heaven to worship the Lord your God. These things are pleasing in the eyes of your heavenly Father. He gives you these things to do, for you are baptized into Christ, and you walk in new life. Now, to be sure, that new life isn't yet perfected here on earth. Sin remains a constant threat. We daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment. Because of our sins, we are always under attack by the devil. He would drag us away from Christ into hell. He, along with our flesh and the world, still tempt us with promises of pride and power, tempt us to rebel against the Lord our God. Which is why the significance of baptism is a daily thing, daily drowning the old Adam, daily feeling contrition, sorrow for sin, daily repenting, turning away from our sins, turning in faith towards God, our Heavenly Father. Daily, we are to strengthen the new man as we hear the Word of God. Daily, we open our Bibles, we meditate on the Scriptures, we read the Scriptures, we hear the Scriptures, we consider the Scriptures together in our homes, we pray. Weekly, we come to this church, this holy house, to hear the preaching of the Word of God and to receive the sacrament of the altar. Through these, the new man emerges and arises to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. And that righteousness, that purity, is of grace, not of works. Not a righteousness you earn for yourself. It's not a purity you accomplish for yourself. It's the gift of God, a gift that he has given to you in baptism, continues to give to you in his word. Christ Jesus suffered and died for you. For his sake, your sins are forgiven. By faith, you hold fast to this good news of Jesus Christ crucified. And it's this faith that God counts as righteousness in his sight, a righteousness that truly avails before God, that far exceeds that which can be found on earth, even that of the scribes and the Pharisees. This righteousness is real. It's trustworthy. And it bears good fruit in your lives, the fruit of love and forgiveness for your brothers and sisters in the church, done in you and through you by God. That new life of baptism, it happened once. That day you were brought to the font and washed in the water along with the Word of God. But the new life didn't stay there in the font. It's in that new life that you live every day of your life as a Christian here on earth. You are baptized into Christ. That is who you are. That is your identity. And in that identity, you live by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone, who gave himself up for you. In him you live. Today, tomorrow, and yes, forever. In his name, amen. Please stand. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.